All right. Well, it looks like most everyone's back. So we'd like to open the floor to questions. Might I suggest that for those of you who have a question to ask, down at the bottom of your control panel on Zoom is something called reactions. And there is a symbol there for a hand. I just put it up on my screen. You can either use that at first, because if you unmute yourself, so I'll go to John first and John Clark, and go ahead, John, and why don't you start with questions, and then we'll go to Tawana after that.
Hello. I'm certainly encouraged by the idea that we've finally begun moving into the mature soul consciousness, but it doesn't seem like anyone in the Republican Party is joining us on this journey. It just seems like it continues to stay bad or get worse. Is there going to be any improvement on some folks kind of moving away from following a really dangerous and destructive person that we've seen?
Well, if you're talking about Republican politicians and Republican donors, the answer would be no, because they have the most to gain by heading this society and the world society into a plutocracy. However, some that are relatively more moderate, and then folks who are of the more working class and or educated persuasion of Republicans are tired of the polarization themselves. So there are some who are moving back out of the extremism column, who will, in fact, if nothing else, cover their own rear ends, back into something different. For instance, you see the movement of Mitt Romney, who wants to try and enter into being a mature soul king this lifetime instead of the manifesting young soul king that he is. But in any case, he is not even so much a party loyalist as he has been, a personal self-promoter. And you have other Republican politicians who have followed that bandwagon, but this year, in and of itself, isn't going to be a year so much for grand conversions. You're going to see a lot of grandstanding of the hardcore ones, whether it's the Ted Cruz, but even somebody like a Marco Rubio is, loosening up. And then, the grand wizard of the Senate, Mitch McConnell, is once again also looking to establish himself more moderately.
If you have psoriatic arthritis,
Then, in any case,
stop joint
he,
damage. Help skin get
I'm sorry, somebody got a, oh, there was, it sounded like there's some kind of computer voice in the background. Anyway, so it's the soul age of the folks that are basically, will move people around. As we said, the for want of a better term, the poor baby souls, who have been at effect of their of watching the America that they grew up, the traditional version of the flag and apple pie and mom and a good job all your life and be patriotic and all those notions, is a those folks are still going to go down because their route of acting out. And the reason they're going to do that is because at their soul age, these kind of confrontational lessons, these kind of very high consequence type of experiences are are what, if you will, are built into that soul age evolution. And so there are going to follow through, and it's going to be acted out. The thing about we would say about that, though, is that it will begin to lose steam over the next 4 years if more progressive elements actually do begin to address some of their needs. Because the baby soul really doesn't want to be so demonstrably disagreeable. you have to back a person, them into a corner to be that way. The young soul is much more willing to be rebellious and rejecting and that sort of thing than is the baby soul. The baby soul, when pushed into a corner, though, you know, can lose its mind and become part of the mob. So as politicians, you know, they're going to continue to try until the next interim elections. And then it'll be interesting to see if Democrats have lived up to or have been able to convince enough people, you know, that they've been fulfilling the promise that this election was made. Joe Biden's a mature sage. And the thing about him that's interesting is at 77, we already think at essence level, he's really clear that he's not going to be running again for re-election, in which case he probably will go for broke, so to speak, doing things that'll really advance this society. In other words, he won't do like so many politicians are worrying about already once they get elected to a new office. Oh, boy, now I get to start thinking about re-election. It doesn't look like he's going to do that. And it may be, too, that, in fact, by his third or fourth year in office, he may actually have a physical malady that causes him to step out of the way. And allow Kamala Harris to take over, because we do see her actually as the first female president in this particular timeline. And it looks like it will come as a result, you know, of her being vice president this particular lifetime. So we hope that's, you know, answered some of your question. Twani, you were next, and then Philip had his hand up after you.
Okay. I'm coming back a little bit more local. I'm, of course, very concerned about climate change, et cetera, but in the San Francisco Bay Area, I don't think I've ever seen a year with as little rainfall as we've gotten yet. And I wondered if Michael can say anything about that. Like, is it likely to change, or we have to be prepared for a drought, and, you know, anything related to that? It's very concerning.
Well, in California, we will say that you're going to have drought conditions this winter and into you will have late spring rains that will help. But all of climate change around the planet has so shifted the trade winds and so disrupted what have been historically normal weather patterns, and also made El Niños and La Niñas much more erratic in where and how much rainfall they deliver. It's also what it's done, and is it's shifted a lot of the precipitation belt, you know, up north into the northeast, to where there's, you know, floods and tremendous amounts of snowfall and so forth. Water on this planet will be actually the first and most evident of all the fresh water, drinking water, potable water will be the biggest climate change issue that will be undisputably acknowledged over the course of the next 10 years. Much of the Middle East is about to go dry. Literally, that they have used so many of their water resources, aquifers that have either been drained or, unfortunately, because of oil production, polluted, are now being assaulted and then therefore made undrinkable. The major rivers of the Middle East, and there's not that many, are virtually dry, whether you're talking about the Tigris, the Euphrates, the Jordan, a couple of others. Even the amount of water that flows from the Red Sea into the Suez Canal, the Suez Canal, or from the Mediterranean, the Suez Canal down to the Red Sea, is less. But what's ironic is, of course, is sea level rise will happen again, or happen more so over the course of the next two decades. And the potential if the progressive element of thinkers in the world wins, as opposed to, and we're going to say it out loud, the capitalists who will otherwise like to hoard the water and then make sure that every one of you pay $5 a bottle, you know, for a pint of water. And many of you who followed the president of Nestle know that's exactly their plan, literally and publicly stated. If they capture the glacial melt off of Greenland, if they capture the icebergs that are breaking away out of the Arctic and the Antarctic, and actually produce technologies to harvest those, then the fresh water shortage can at least be minimized. But in the greater scheme of things, it's the distribution of rainfall on the planet that is problematic because of climate change. But at least there are ways that human technological capability now could mitigate that, but they are long-term strategic investments. And that's part of the artisan energy this year, that if it's able to take hold, will be very beneficial. Let us put this out here to you folks. We would say that this year, 2021, represents the beginning of a new era, not just a year. And we mean more than, you know, and obviously, yes, we mean that in terms of the mature soul era, but we also mean in terms of the evolutionary nature of how human beings organize their societies. And one of the ways, and one of the ideas that's kicked around every once in a while, but it's going to gain some foothold in the next few years, and may even gain much more public speak this year, is the idea of an intercontinental water pipeline. And the reason that that's so vital is places right now in the United States that are getting inundated by, say, the hurricanes or the huge amounts of snow or the big freezes and so forth. When why let that water run into the ocean and be wasted? Systems, humankind has the technological capacity to create systems to literally collect that water and pipe it to any, you know, other places in the United States that are very dry, and use it, whether it's for agricultural irrigation. And something that is going to actually happen by 2050 is you'll see many of the remaining forests in the United States becoming so desperately under pressure that there will be moves to actually irrigate wild forests. And these are called rainforests. And because the ratio of remaining rainforest to the other kinds of gases in the atmosphere, let alone the heat in the atmosphere, is causing the inability of clouds to, you know, stay long enough, cold enough to drop precipitation. And of course, your rainforests are ultimately your watersheds. So a problem that's local to California has larger implications around the world, and ones that will be noted a lot this year. So thank you, Tawana. Hopefully that answered your question. Phil, your hand was up next. You're still muted, Phil. And you're still muted, Phil. Let's see if
okay. I didn't know how to do it on my phone.
No problem.
A question about the mature soul age energy. I actually have two questions. So Stephen said in another setting that it's up to us to create the structures of the, you know, to kind of create the mature soul society. So yes. I'm wondering, when you talk about a mature age, a soul age, what exactly is different? Is it just that energy?
Yes. Well, first of all, it falls. We mentioned the four pillars of the physical plane: creation, you know, expression, inspiration, action, and assimilation. Moving out of the young soul era means you're moving out from underneath the action axis of general overleaves. So this compulsion of the moving center to build, create, conquer, dominate, all the overleaves that otherwise go on under there are now starting to lose their grip. They're reactionary. And what people, pardon me, are being called on to create with are the energies or the overleaves, if you will, under the assimilative axis. Now, for those of you who know this, our teaching, you know that the assimilative axis is, quote, neutral, in the sense that it's not exalted or ordinal, meaning it can be either or. You know, you can work personally on oneself and work for, you know, the greater whole at the same time. But all the overleaves that come under there, whether it's scholar energy is the role, relaxation, or more specifically flow as the goal, pragmatism, observation mode, unfortunately stubbornness, because that makes it slow to move at times, and then instinctive centering are the energies that are essentially, if you will, in the broadest possible outlines, what the mature soul kind of motif is, for want of a better term. Now in this, because it's mature soul, you are also entering what we've called the conscious awareness era, meaning you're a choice. The age of karma for most of you mature and old souls, it's not that the actions of karma cease on the physical plane, but most of you will not feel that you are compelled by karma like young and baby souls are, like when you are all young and baby souls. Your continued repetition on earth was karmically based. You know, oh, you killed somebody that lifetime. Oh, now you got to incarnate to get killed by them or to have the experience of being killed. Okay, that's the karmic base. Well, now it's the wheel of choice in the mature soul era. So what are you going to do? You're going to let the earth slide down into where it is? You're going to let humanity continue to be, you know, at loggerheads against itself? Or are you going to actively engage in activities that help build new structures, new institutions? And by institutions, we mean even just small collectives of activities, of persons, of that then network together to start out creating the old creations. So it's this idea of replacement, not necessarily of defeat of the old to install the new. Is this helping you some? Is this making sense?
Sure.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
So, however, you know, this is, as we said, really the first kind of year toe in that you are the beginning of the beginning, as we said, as all of you are going into this. And it's coming off of a year from, you know, that we called, some of you recall who've with us in 2020, we called it the Great Suspension. Everything was put on hold. And that was the first real kind of wave of this assimilative axis energy, when nothing could move forward. Well, ironically, of course, things were moving. They were moving within everyone. They were moving under the surface. Why the so-called economy was stagnant? Well, heck, everybody was changing their jobs. They were changing their relationship to work. They were changing what they did. Some people changed by not doing anything at all. Some people got more money on unemployment than they did in their regular hourly wage job, which put a whole lot of people, some up in arms, some realizing, wait a minute, we got to change the way that we, you know, exchange energy for work. So all of those things were changing. All those things were being moved about, if you will, under the surface, while on the top of things, you know, appeared this so-called stagnation or suspension. This year, it's the energies are more active, as you could tell by the overleaves we gave you. They are more active, you know, energies, but they're still going to feel somewhat helter-skelter, as we used the phrase before, meaning kind of many of you won't feel a sense of organized ability to approach your own lives. But, however, we should say, as older souls, most of you having been through lifetimes where you've done this, most of you will have more facility personally to manage these kind of things. And secondly, the reason you'll have more facility to manage these kind of things is because most of you are not in hyperactive either occupations or times of life where you're trying to, you know, keep up with that, say, that pace of 90 that will happen. And with that being said, you guys will, you know, roll with it more, probably more effectively than, you know, than again, the younger souls, as we said. But let us pause for just a moment and just ask you if this has answered or given you at least some framework of answer to your question.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. Because we'd like to be able to give as many people the opportunity to ask as possible. Thank you, Phil. Let's see. I'm looking to see if there are other hands up, and I don't see it. Oh, there's Fred. Okay. Fred, you want to go ahead? You're on mute. Looks like Fred is talking to somebody, so I'm not sure he's hearing me. All right. All right. Well, let's see. Fred, when you if you can hear me.
Michael, Stephen, this is Janaea.
Yes. Janaea, go ahead, Janaea.
Did you cover all of the, you had some changing, I cannot remember now whether it's attitude, the role, the mode. When we move from up into growth in April, Michael had mentioned several phases this year, and I'm not sure that we got them all.
Okay, good. Thank you for asking for that clarification. So at the end of March, early April, the goal will move from reevaluation to growth. The mode will move from then power. It's just till the end of January that you're in caution, and into perseverance. So it'll be growth in perseverance, and the instinctive centering will shift to the moving part. So those three major changes are going to happen. And there's one other, and that is that the frequency, the pacing of this year is going to feel like it's hit the gas, and it's going to go from a low 20s, what it is now, up to 90. So those are the changes that are all going to happen approximately around, excuse me, the first part of April. And that'll make that the energy, you know, acceleration of this year feel a lot more, you know, dynamic and fast paced. So the fact that you went mute, Janaea, I'll assume that you actually, that answered your question. Fred, you had your hand up, and I tried to call on you, and you had your, so there you are. Okay, Fred, go ahead. And then I see Jillian and Angela and Sally after that.
So Steve, I put my questions in the chat. Could you read them from there?
Sorry about that. I was, I usually try to stay away from the chat because it's distracting. Let's see. Are presidents always or sometimes corrupted once they enter office through higher dimensional manipulation or violence? Has that occurred or will it occur with Joe? Well, that's an interesting phrasing. We would say higher dimensional manipulation. And the word always in there as well is another loaded one. What we would say is, no, it actually hasn't happened. If anything, Joe Biden is probably going to come into and actually be his full soul age at this point in time in his life. His allegiances are, you know, hasn't changed that much, one way or the other. He's, you know, old school kind of Democrat, but as far as his level of concern and compassion, we don't really see him being bought out by higher dimensional energies or corporate energies at this point. He is a traditionalist to some extent, so he's not looking to make vast changes in the economic system or too much in the power structure, but it looks like he is really looking to raise the floor and call out more accountability. As far as violence are concerned, we will say that when Mr. Obama got in there, he was confronted with threats to he and his family. Many of the things that Mr. Obama did were not in keeping with either his character or his policies, but he carried through because he knew if he wanted to have some, you know, movement on the social front, doing anything that would, stall or or hinder, you know, the wealthy or corporate America was not going to happen. They would take him out. And so he played enough ball. And in exchange, he did get some environmental, you know, socialized medicine to a degree, and other changes that, while not perfect, were certainly more forward and advanced progressive. One of the persons we would say that, you know, did come under that influence, you know, and in this particular, in earlier this century, was William Howard Taft, Calvin Coolidge, Grover Cleveland, even Herbert Hoover, and even early in his career, Franklin Roosevelt. So there was, and by higher dimensional, we don't mean that aliens descended into his office. You know, we mean that the forces around him, like what happened with Mr. Trump, you know, that he merely was the attractor for the kind of energies that were around him. And all of that were not just his doing, but, you know, the climate of the world itself. So in any case, that's just some of our observations, you know, on recent presidents, as far as that's concerned. Let's see, Brad has tried
Steve?
Raising his hand.
Okay, good.
Okay. So Brad, why don't you unmute yourself? And then, excuse me. I have Jillian. Okay. I have Jillian, Angela, Sally, and then Brad. So if you guys could keep me, and it looks like Ellen lifted up her hands as well. And I see Tom. So I'll try and do my best. And Sarah, maybe you can help keep me focused. Jillian, I think you were next. And then Angela, and then Sally, and Brad.
So I'm wondering what the positive, you know, I know that's not the right word, but what what's the cost benefit of actually prosecuting Trump and many of the seditionists who took over on January 7th? I know that there's a feeling expressed by Joe Biden that, you know, he really wants unity, and yet others are saying, you know, that's kind of how we got in this trouble, because we didn't prosecute Nixon and others who have done wrong. So, you know, what are the implications of doing one or the other?
There's going to be violence and conflict about it either way. But if you're moving to set up the, if you will, call them principles of the mature soul era, that everyone is accountable. And no one gets a free pass just because of power or wealth, then he has to be prosecuted. We know that as it stands right now, we think that the probability of Mr. Trump himself actually getting prosecuted, but not for necessarily the treason and or other things, but in the, you know, in the place that it hurts him most, in the court of public opinion and in his finances, that's a sure thing. But whether that seems like justice to people is a different thing. Also, what will be very interesting to see, and we don't know that it will, that it's going to happen, but to see if any of the Republican legislators who were on board with the storming of the Capitol, and who, you know, called openly that, by definition, by law that's been on the books since the beginning of the Constitution, is insurrection. That's a treasonable offense. I mean, all the law is there. It's just, you know, whether you're going to hold somebody to it or not. It's not even an interpretation. That is a question of whether, you know, the powers that be will in fact carry through. But we would tell you that either way, there's going to be someone who's unhappy. From a principled perspective, prosecutions, If you want to, again, install this newer level of integrity and reassert a kind of egalitarianism that mature soul energy has embedded in it, it means that everyone's equal under the law. You just have to apply the law. So that cost benefit is, you know, it just depends on which way you're going to fall, but there's still going to be a cost. So Let's see, where was, I think, was it Sally next or who did we lose?
Angela.
Thank you. Angela was next. Okay, Angela, go ahead.
Okay. Well, you sort of answered my first question with regard to what do we do with the 74 million people who voted for Trump and all the yahoos that ended up in the Capitol. And in terms of the fact that I guess I feel that, yes, there needs to be some accounting, some accountability for these actions. I don't think we can just allow them to go, you know, to continue on like this and they don't get prosecuted, you know. And it seems to be there might be some stuff going on, you know, in terms of the interconnection between the politicians and some of these people, in terms of them having, I'm sure that Trump must have had back channel communications with these people. So, you know, like the people who seem to be leading it or seem to know what to do. So that sort of answered my first question. But then there's a second question in terms of the fact that I felt so angry about this that happened on the 6th. And have to be honest, if I'm honest with myself, I can't say I'm going to be holding hands and singing Kumbaya with these people anytime soon. And so it's like, how do I, who considers myself to be a spiritual person, somebody who's on a personal, you know, path to growth, reconcile wanting peace on the other hand, and yet my anger about what these people did and the fact that I don't know if they're going to get away with it, but I don't know that everybody's going to be prosecuted who should be prosecuted, and wanting some, you know, some sort of justice, you know.
Oh. Justice often is in the eye of the beholder. What we would want to address, Angela, is, you know, your kitty's coming over to comfort you. We're glad for that. Rub that kitty love in, because love is what it's going to take. And love does not mean undisciplined, you know, allowing of shenanigans to, you know, like indulging a spoiled child. We're not suggesting that, but it's the anger that exists on both sides of this equation that has to be vented, and best vented by actual utilization. It's not about singing Kumbaya with anybody. It's more like being a participative member of your community. And in that regard, you know, helping to build, as we said, what the both the mature soul and this year of the mature soul is, finding every way you can to contribute to something that is beneficial, even if it's hard. But find your ways. And sometimes even, you know, you may have to shout back at somebody who's equally as obnoxious as you felt they were, you watching. We can tell you it's inevitable. Soul ages often make a transition from the negative pole of one to the negative pole of the other. And that is what is happening now. And the negative pole of the mature soul era, as we define it, is ambiguity. In other words, there's no sure ground to stand on with your emotions, with your feelings of what should be done or how it should be done. You just know you have anger. And we just want to acknowledge your anger. It's completely legitimate to have anger. There are plenty of people, plenty of the baby souls and young souls have anger. The thing about it is, what a cynic year in the positive pole can actually assist, believe it or not, is tear away all the bullshit about why you have your anger. Not tear down your anger. That's the negative pole. But rather say, okay, what am I really pissed about? And for most people on both sides of the aisle, they're really pissed because they are terrified that their lives or livelihoods, more specifically, have been attacked, and it's a sinking ship. One of the things that's going on in the world instinctively right now, and all of you this year need to come to some reckoning with, even if you don't have alert to it. Twana brought it up, and that is almost every one of you have some awareness of your connection of as a Homo sapien animal to a very struggling biosphere. You're feeling the increased pressure of human population, of diminishing resources. Even though your stores are full, you guys are raping your topsoil to do it. You know, and even though your gas is, you know, somewhat so-called, you know, relatively inexpensive, it is being pumped, you know, regardless of the cost to the environment and how it's extracted. And all of this is done because of the nature of the last stage of the young soul mentality, which is corporate capitalism. It's not that corporations necessarily in and of themselves are bad. There are many that are profit sharing, employee owned. Corporations are just large scale bodies. What makes them bad is when they're profit oriented, privately held entities that don't have any regulation, and that then in turn buy superior or favored status before the governing bodies that, you know, dispense justice. And everyone is feeling that as well. So that anger, that's looming. You can't rationalize or talk yourself out or even get enough vengeance necessarily to get that happening. But a fight, a scrap, some way, we can actually tell you that what happened on the Capitol was actually a huge venting of energy for a big portion of the baby young soul community. It actually flipped them into the other direction. And it flipped many of you older souls into saying, fuck, let's stop being nice. Let's try and get real here. Now, at least bringing that anger to the surface doesn't mean you have to act out in violence in it. But many of you who are old souls really don't like anger because it raises that terror stuff. And it raises that terror because most of you as old souls are going, I don't want to create any more karma. I want to get off this rock kind of thing. You know, so you have those kind of reactions. Well, that's a luxury none of you get to afford anymore. You need to come to grips with your own angers, your own emotions, your own shames, your own fears, and be brave. And if you do that, you know what? You'll actually be able to talk a lot of these folks into, you know, some reason by acknowledging their anger, their fears, and that from their standpoint, they're legitimate. From their standpoint. Now, the big key word there is that capital F facts. Remember, we're not saying capital T truth, because truth is often interpretive, but facts are verifiable. You know, not just did something happen, but by the structure of something. You know, how does a tree grow? Well, it takes, you know, anywhere from 10 to 100 years and maybe longer. You know, that's a fact of 10,000 years of human observation, you know. So for somebody to come along and try and dismiss that and say, oh, we'll just plant forests, you know, by planting a whole bunch of trees. Well, yeah, but that's a 100-year process if you devote all your time to it. So facts and the realities of things are where this real divide is happening. And we will say that much of the world's baby souls and young souls, because they are so externally worldly oriented, they look to approval and to whether it's QAnon or the conservative talk show hosts or their churches or whatever group it is that gives them validation and say, oh, well, they're telling me this, so I believe them, without necessarily ever independently checking or even knowing what a lot of these words mean. So in any case, thank you, Angela, for your question. We want to make sure we get to everyone. Brad.
Sally's next.
Oh, Sally. Sorry, Sally's next.
Brad.
Sorry. Yeah, so Brad. Hello. Hello, Brad.
Am I up?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm trying to turn on my video too. Okay. Hi. So it was interesting what you were talking about regarding what it's called, the vibrational, the speed.
The frequency, pace of the of things. Yes.
Yeah. I've noticed for myself the last 2 days, today and yesterday, that it felt to me like somebody just turned up the frequency to 90.
Oh, there you are.
For me.
Uh huh.
Yeah. And it's felt, and I mean, it isn't just like in my head. It's been like work that's being done on my on our house and the things that we needed to help a couple things with. And my work has been kind of off the charts, and I'm getting all these new people in, and it's just, I mean, it's not like it's all bad or anything. It's just been totally draining and overwhelming. And
right.
It was that way yesterday and today. And I'm like, what just happened? And I'm wondering if this is a universalish thing or if it's just a Brad.
No, it feels like it's a precursor for you, Brad. It feels like you said, it's okay. I don't need to do reevaluation. I'm going to skip right into growth and I'm going to start up now. You aren't feeling particularly cautious or withdrawing. it's going to be great for your finances and great for your practice.
Yeah, I just feel like I have to. I felt a long time like I feel like I'm trying to catch up with the me that was very unproductive for up until maybe 5 years ago, or underproductive at least, I'd say.
Yeah, and you know, some of this for you, man, is, you know, you're really hitting your stride as a person this lifetime. And secondly of all is, you know, you also have a native low frequency of below 30.
Yes.
So anything for a low frequency person. Yeah, you know, oh my God, you poor low frequency people. When that 90 comes, you know, you're going to get up in the morning to want to go to bed and take a nap.
Oh my God.
You know, because it's just going to feel like it's just going like crazy. Joe can get that at his frequency. Nana smiling too at hers. So in any case, you know, that's a function of, and by the way, remember we said it's a choice. These overleaves are the ones that the Tao has set in place as the container. But what we want you to know is, the more of you who are acting consciously as conscious creators, taking this artisan year and doing it in the form of service, as you are, Brad. I mean, here you are a therapist and you're rebuilding and redoing your house. And, you know, you're helping your kids who structure their future. You are doing it for others, you know, and it's coming back to you in prosperity. In other words, you don't have to wait for these overleaves. Use them proscriptively or prescriptively, I guess, prescriptively. Yeah, you know, in advance. Engage them. You don't have to wait. So.
Okay.
Okay. So we skip Sally. Where's Sally? Because I think I skip her, or did I answer her question? I didn't mean to skip her.
You skipped her, but then she wasn't there. I went back and checked the list. I don't see her.
Ah, okay. Well, sorry about that, Sally.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I see Catherine, but I saw Tom Coates had it up earlier. And I think Ellen, you were flagging me with some paper. Were you just raise your.
I'm sorry. I wasn't flagging you. I had lost the video.
Got it. Okay. So I'm just trying to keep my order here. All right. So let me try and get these last few questions. Thank you, Ellen, for letting me know. So I'll go Tom, Catherine, and then Nan. I'm calling it a night. All right, Tom. You're on mute still, Tom. You're on mute still, Tom. Ground control to Major Tom.
All right, is that it?
There you go. Now you got it.
Thank you. I may have missed this because it took me a half an hour to figure out how to get online tonight with the meeting, but... I had someone communicate with me today and who asked, is there a connection at the metaphysical level of which we're looking at tonight between the coronavirus and the Black Lives Matter movement? My answer was, I feel like there is, but I don't know exactly what it is. And I wondered if you could offer some insight about that.
No, we have no connection between the Black Lives Matter and the coronavirus, except the fact that as a minority, they'll probably be more susceptible to it. But We don't see any other connection to than that.
Okay. You mentioned earlier the QAnon phenomena. Can any guidance be offered on who is behind that or what is behind that?
There's money behind it. We can tell you that. The Koch brothers are behind it. Interestingly enough, the fellow who just the billionaire who just died had money invested in it. Whatever his name, Alderaan or Alden or something like that.
The guy in Las Vegas or whatever.
Yeah, that's the one.
Casino.
Adelstein.
Right. Okay.
And then there are other organizations, and then there are just some really, really fun Russians who are enjoying the hell out of feeding disinformation to the Americans. And there's plenty of Americans who are willing to buy it.
I've had in the last week contacts from two individuals that I know who are, one's an engineer, the other one is a structural engineer, the other one's an electrical engineer, both highly educated. And both, one was from New York, the other from this area, Richmond. Both were at the Washington events on January 6th. And went on. And I listened to one of them about 25 minutes of description about the wonderful, it sounded like he was talking about Woodstock or something, you know.
A pep rally. Yeah.
It was really interesting. He's convinced that all the information about what went on at the Capitol was completely fake news and all this. I listened to him for 20 minutes before he even knew that I was not in sympathy with his position. So I gave him a good ear, but it was fascinating to be present for that perspective, even though it's so antithetical to my own, with both of them.
Thank you, Tom, for giving, for at least allowing courtesy and respect, even though you disagree with it. That is an important status. Then we hope you were able to clean your ears out from what was put in.
I was not made a convert by the conversation.
We can imagine. We can imagine. Thank you. All right. So, Catherine?
Nice segue with what Tom Rose brought forward. I am curious about what we can expect with the coronavirus. It seems like up till now we've had two steps forward, one step back with anything to do with its addressing it. With the vaccine rollout, with its research. Can I assume that when we get the 90% frequency increase, that will also apply to finding resolution with the coronavirus so that a year from now we'll be further ahead?
The scientific progress on the coronavirus will certainly improve. What will be really interesting is the fact that there are so many people who are going to reject the vaccine. So many of the people who are either, mask deniers or anti-vaxxers or afraid of, corporate conspiracies and like that are not going to take the vaccine. So that, in other words, you'll have hosts that will continue to spread it. And as we said, the nature of this virus is one of trying to teach humanity to respect its elders, and Earth and viruses are its elders. It's just saying, pay attention. You don't have to die from this, but don't be dumb, because we exist and we're claiming attention, to kind of like convey the consciousness of it. And from that standpoint alone, then we enter into the mathematics of population distribution. Many of you who will have your vaccinations will have immunity probably for a good year to a year and a half. But many of you aren't going to stop taking your precautions. But will there be an increase then in the number of people vaccinated such that you may even have more, or should we say a lessening of restrictions? And the answer will be yes. And so that by, say, 2022, things like the East Coast Gathering could actually happen in person. But you may find yourself actually saying to people, if you come to this gathering, you'll have had to be vaccinated. You know, and finding yourself in a whole new level of, you know, being placed in a position of regulators, you know, that isn't comfortable, but that most everyone will say, heck yes, planning committee, please do that.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, already. Right. Yeah.
So will this lead into one of the proposed decrease in populations that has been suggested as well? This will be contributing.
What's interesting is it's not even this COVID round. It's the one that's going to be the next. We're not even sure it's a SARS virus, but the stuff that's coming out of the permafrost melt is where the greatest number of viral and bacterial agents are re-entering the atmosphere that haven't been awake for 150,000 years. And it's got a pristine population, you know, of humans, and some of which are very, very fast spreaders, including some that are cross species. In any case, that's for several years from now. The good news is that doesn't have to be cause as much death, because there will be a lot of precautions, a lot of procedures, and now a lot of experience just from, you know, these next couple of years, this last year and these next couple of years already in place. The question is will, you know, the powers that be around the world seek to say, oh, it's all done now, and then dismantle them? Or will they learn the lesson and say, you know, we have to actually build infrastructure for this, because now we see it's not only possible, it's likely. So
this is a dress rehearsal for what even worse ahead.
In a very, in one sense of the word, yes, it is. It is.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, Nan, you were the, and you'll be our last question.
I was in the COVID territory also, and you've sort of begun to address it. Do I get the sense that for the whole year, we're going to still have to live with restrictions?
Yep.
The entire 2021?
Yes.
Okay. I was hoping to change that. But Catherine brought up the subject of, some people have talked about, a population die-off. And even though 1 million people are dying, there's 7 billion on the planet.
Almost eight.
That doesn't feel like a major die-off outside the context of what we would have without it.
Right.
But what's being said here is worse things are coming, and a bigger die-off could happen.
Throughout the century, there will be population increases for birth rates, because bored people have babies. Poor people have babies, because, you know, they haven't got anything better to do. And we don't mean to sound condescending on that. It's just that that's one of the few simple human pleasures that literally, you know, if you're in a mated relationship of some sort, is free. And so people do that, but free to do the act, but not necessarily free for birth control or for raising the children and so on and so forth. So people will just be breeding, and it's exponential, unfortunately. But what will happen is, you know, by the middle of the century, humanity will either figure it out, or the die-off will happen, because much of the food production possibilities on this planet are going to begin to just have rapid declines. Topsoil on this planet is under tremendous stress. It's not something that rejuvenates particularly quickly. So
yeah, I have felt we've been seriously overpopulated, you know, for the last 50, 80 years. When I was a kid, there were 2 billion.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Yeah. There's more people on planet Earth now than there has been in the entirety of the time of humanity, you know, the sum total of them. And part of what that is some of those die-offs folks are those of you who have concurrence here. You know, the channel, for instance, has 2 other concurrents. Several of you in this room, we're just sensing as just glancing around, at least have one. But some of the younger souls who wanted to come in and just gobble up young and mature souls, some of them got 7, 8, 9. They said, oh, this is such a great period of history. Let's just dive in there, especially before we kill off the planet and then have to go to the new Earth. I mean, it's a rather drastic kind of rationalization, but remember, essences don't suffer the same way that personalities do. They don't, because they're immortal, or, you know, at least ongoing, and they can do their the end of their cycles in, you know, slowly and in harsh conditions, or as we said, the other Earth that was, you know, spun off about 60 years ago, for where the infant souls that are done coming to this Earth are going to. Because why? Because infant soul lessons are not done in industrial societies. I mean, every once in a while, an infant soul who's been here may come back and do one. But we mean for infant soul, and then as an infant soul era, it's, you know, it's basically hunter-gatherer stuff. So you need that kind of planet for that. So thank you for your question, Nan. So everyone, we want to say thank you for coming tonight, and let you know that we'll be doing these presentations quarterly on material, because the next quarter in April is when the next energy shift happens. I want to thank you all for being so cooperative and so attentive. I apologize for any of the internet issues that happened. And for those of you who have come, you are entitled, if you desire, you can have copies of this tape once I get it processed, or this tape, sorry, there's an anachronism. Copies of this electronic recording, you know, free of charge, since you were here tonight. So any of you who feel like you'd like to revisit this, just send me an email and I'll send you the links to the file. All right. So thank you everyone for coming. Have a wonderful 2021. Some of you who are in our COVID groups, I'll see you tomorrow morning. Others of you who are in our communication class on Thursday, I'll see you then. So everyone, have a good evening. I'm going to say